Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of The Emma Gunn Show with Katie Morris is part of the Menopause series, but was originally published in June of 2019. Katie Morris is a personal trainer who shares with me her experience of training women experiencing menopausal symptoms and how lifestyle changes can make a huge difference to the overall experience of menopause. And this is all expertise and insight that she has gained from working with women going through this on the gym floor. All the links will be in the show notes, but here it is once again, Katie Morris on The Emma Gunn Show. Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and in this episode, we're going to take another look at menopause and perimenopause, but from a slightly different angle. The show I recorded with Dr. Elaine McQuaid a few weeks ago has had a huge response from you, my most excellent listeners, and the overwhelming feedback from everyone was, please do more. Obviously, there are lots of different points of view on this subject, so I'm trying my best to get a variety of qualified experts on the show who can speak on the complexities of menopause and perimenopause and early menopause from a position of authority. The aim, of course, being that in addition to understanding it all a bit more clearly, you then have all the information you need to make informed decisions about how you wish to manage your symptoms. I received a DM on Instagram a few weeks ago, and side note, I'm so sorry, I can't find the message to give a shout out to the listener, because DMs are so unsearchable, but it was a listener who recommended today's guest, and it was a message to say that they really appreciated the way Katie Morris, who is a personal trainer, spoke to women about perimenopause and menopausal symptoms while also offering great practical advice. So I slid into Katie's DMs and asked her if she'd like to be a guest, and she agreed. So in this episode, you'll hear us chatting about how she helps women experiencing the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause in terms of making life choices that will help them navigate their experience with it. Katie is also a part of Menopause Matters, founded by Dr. Heather Curry. Their website is menopausematters.co.uk, and has also built a community on Facebook with her own Menopause Mastermind group, where she shares advice, videos, and also answers questions. Now, Katie is 30. No, she's not. Katie is 34 years old. So you may immediately be thinking, oh, what do you know? But what I really like about Katie's perspective is that she was working with women in the gym who were trying to reach their fitness goals and noticed that they just weren't getting the results they should have been. So she started looking into how menopause and the change in hormones can have an impact on our bodies, our metabolism, our energy levels, etc., and started to train women around this in order to find a path to the results they were hoping to achieve. And you know what's nice? Someone taking it seriously. Someone looking you in the eye and saying, you know what, you're doing everything right. Something is different. Let's have a look into this. And I really appreciate her point of view and the fact that she really does. This is a huge, huge focus of her work. And Katie didn't dismiss women who were struggling to reach their goals and assume they were, you know, upending Kit Kats into cups of tea and whatnot. She instead offered support and went about educating herself as much as possible so she could be as helpful as possible. And you know me, I like a bit of that. I'll let her tell you her full story on the show, which also includes advice on what to do in the gym, changes and tweaks for nutrition and more. The links to everything mentioned, including Katie, are in the show notes, which can be found wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode. But here she is. It's Katie Morris on The Emma Gunn Show. Katie, thank you for being on the show. I'm really excited to talk to you, actually.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. We have on this podcast, my listeners, my most excellent listeners and I have had conversations with other experts about menopause, perimenopause, but I really appreciate the point of view that you have on it. So you are a fitness trainer. Is that the right word? Personal trainer?
I've been called many things in my time, but personal trainer. I tend to call health and wellness coach because I've done a lot of nutrition work. I've done a lot of lifestyle coaching in my time. So it's a more of a holistic approach, but ultimately, fitness trainer.
Fitness trainer. And you specialise, correct me if I get this wrong anywhere along the way, but you specialise in women who are going through or experiencing symptoms of perimenopause and menopause.
I certainly do, yes. I like to call it focus. Specialise is a big word that puts loads of pressure on me.
Oh, does it? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think I've been doing it for 2-3 years. Specifically on menopausal women, but I think maybe after 10 years I might call myself a specialist. Use it lightly.
Earning your stripes now. Yeah. And why is it that, because I think let's put you into context before we really get into the meat and potatoes of it. What is it that drew you towards it? Because you are a 34-year-old woman.
I am.
And so you are yet to experience these things, yet it is something that you feel really strongly about helping other women with.
Definitely. There's two main reasons. I saw my mum go through it, and she had a roller coaster time, not the worst I've heard about, not the easiest. And as the health and fitness guru of the family for many years, I felt it was my responsibility to step up and to help her to understand why she was so emotional, why she was feeling so up and down, going through the symptoms. So I started looking into it a little bit more, and then I realised that a lot of my clients were menopausal women. Nothing that I focused on in particular, but they seemed to gravitate towards me. They were pretty helpless, they didn't know where else to go, and I wasn't getting the results with them that I was used to. So all my tips and tricks and knowledge of over the years wasn't really working, which was frustrating for them and for me. So I thought there must be something else going on, because I did believe that the majority of them were doing everything that I advised. So I thought, well, I need to look at the changes that happen in a woman's body, because it's not so clear cut. And then slowly I started to understand that my approach maybe wasn't working and had to change a lot of the things, which we'll go into. And then everyone was happier in the end. It started to work, not at the rate that maybe 20 and 30 year olds experience. It's good to be as honest as possible. I often talk about results and say that people's perception of results, especially as we get older, is way off the mark.
The thing I like about this is that a lot of the communication and correspondence I've had from listeners is that they use language like, I don't feel right, or I'm doing all the right things but nothing's happening, and I'm trying to help myself and I can't, because they might make tweaks to their diet, or they might try and start exercising and they're not getting any gains, and they feel like that change should be making a difference. And then they go to a GP and they might feel that they don't get the response that they want. But what you actually say, which I think is really valuable for women to hear, is you're not wrong. These changes might not be having an effect, because actually what's going on fundamentally needs a different approach. And so don't get frustrated. We can get you there.
Yeah, it just might take a little bit longer and a little bit more of a few tweaks, but the things that you turn to in your 20s and 30s that you were so sure would drop a few pounds and make you feel better for a night out or an event or whatever, they often don't work as you get older, for changes that are happening in the body, for, you know, your metabolism slowing down, for you losing bone mass quicker than you can make it, and for all these hormonal shifts, they're going to affect your mood, your energy, so you're not going to be as energetic and ready to get up and go to the gym. You've got kids to care for, you've got maybe grandkids to look after. There's so many other things going on as you get older that people don't really want to take into account, but it needs to be taken into account.
Because again, another thing is that feeling of that you're not in control.
Yeah.
And would you say actually in some ways the changes do mean that you aren't in control, because everything that you've known kind of goes out the window?
Yeah, completely. But I think the more we can educate and inform women about, or preempt, you know, what's going to happen, and that it's okay to feel this way. And that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And if you're following all the things that we talk about and we advise, then you will be okay. But it is completely, yeah, they feel out of control. They feel not themselves. They don't even, like, it doesn't sound like their own voice that they're hearing. I completely understand that. And there's reasons for it, but you need to work with the hormones, not against them.
Yeah, and I think when I started, so I should say this, Katie's actually on the show because a listener got in touch and said, I really appreciate how Katie talks about the menopause and speaks to women. And so we started chatting on social media, and now there is a recording here. But when I was going through your social media feed to see what this listener was talking about, there is a lot of hope in your feed, and there is also a lot of you can take ownership of this. And actually, the menopause doesn't have to be something that you are a victim of or something that happens to you. It can be something you can kind of ride and enjoy and sort of experience in a way that doesn't have to be hopeless or helpless.
Definitely. And I think another reason, the fitness industry as a whole is very geared towards 20-year-olds, and I felt that it was undervalued and underserved. And there were so many women out there that were desperate for help, and it was my duty to kind of find out about it and help them. I almost felt embarrassed, a little bit ashamed of the industry, because women were coming to me like on the edge, in tears, don't know where else to turn. And I thought, right, it's my job. I've got to find out, and I've got to help them. So there is definitely hope. There's definitely hope at the end of the tunnel. What people don't realise is the earlier you can start getting yourself physically, mentally and emotionally as strong and healthy as possible, the easier the ride will be through menopause. Whether you choose to go on, you know, medication or not, you need to get yourself fit and healthy.
Yeah, because when we started chatting on email, I asked you about like the resources you use, and you actually do collaborate, is probably the wrong word, but you do have very good relationships with some very with doctors who specialize in the subject. So how does that all work, and how did that all come about for you to take it out of the gym and really compound your experience and knowledge?
Because I realized that I do believe that, you know, there are some great sources of medical help out there, and I'm definitely not qualified in any way to be talking about that. So I started contacting the clinics and the surgeries and the doctors around that were supposedly specialising in menopause, and basically just questioned them, what is your referral system? So do you believe that holistic health is also important in the treatment of menopause? And they were absolutely yes. Whether you choose to HRT or not to use it, you have to get yourself as fit and healthy as possible. So I said, so when a woman comes to you and you advise this, then what happens? And it was pretty much like a tumbleweed. Well, I don't know, really. That's not our special, like, our area of expertise. They were open and honest that, you know, they don't know a lot about exercise and diet. They know kind of the basics of it. But then they were like, we would absolutely love to work with you. So it's kind of like a referral system. I've sent a lot of women to these clinics, and they have backwards and forwards to make sure that they're getting the full approach, because it is a big, I would say it's like, you see it as like a pie, a full pie, and you need to hit every piece of the pie or the puzzle. You can't just address your, you know, the HRT or the food or the diet or the stress management on their own. You need to have it all completely if you really want to be able to tackle menopause head on.
So if someone's listening to this and they think, I believe I'm going through the early stages of menopause, I think that things have definitely changed, I feel like my body shape has changed ever so slightly, and maybe the exercise that I used to do isn't really touching the sides anymore, where's a good starting place?
$1 million question. So it depends on where you're at right now. So I work with women that have never, you know, really done any form of exercise, and they just simply need to up their activity levels. That can be, you know, hitting your 10,000 steps a day. It can be doing some small movements at home in your living room. Then if some women say, I've been doing cardio for a long time, I'm like, you might want to think about going into some form of strength training, resistance training. If they've been going to the gym for a long time and they're familiar with it, maybe they're like gym bunnies and they go 4 or 5 times a week, then I look at the style of exercise that they're doing, because you can quite often find that the women are doing too high intensity, too long sessions, because over-exercising can be a massive problem as well, because it's going to cause too much stress on the body, too much inflammation, and that's not going to help the symptoms. So you have to get the right balance. So it depends where you're starting off. But if you come to me and said, you know, I've got 3 hours in the week, just tell me what's the best way to approach it. I'm not really bothered about if I'm confident to go to the gym, I'm familiar with exercise, then I would say, you know, 45 minutes, an hour, a few times a week of strength and resistance training. And when I say that, I don't mean like a big muscle Mary pushing weights in the gym. It can be moving your own body weight, but that's going to help to build muscle, which we know we're fighting against. We're losing it at a quicker rate than we can build it. Help protect your bones, your joints, because aching joints is a big symptom of menopause. And also it's going to burn more calories and lose more fat. Then cardio is going to, then any form of cardio, whether it's long steady state or short intervals, cardio is very taxing on the joints. So it's getting, it depends on where you're starting. But you need to get the balance. Over-exercising is as much of a problem as under-exercising, which not many people address.
Yeah, it just feels like, gosh, there's, you think if you just start exercising more, you'll be fine. And then when it's like, oh, you're over-exercising,
I know, it can be really frustrating. And it's conflicting information, right? So people don't know where to begin. But you need to make sure you're doing the best, I would say, the most efficient use of your time in the gym, taking enough rest, looking after your body. Because what people also don't realise is that all the changes that you're looking for of losing weight and building muscle are actually happening when you're recovering and when you're resting and when you're sleeping. Your body, when you're sleeping, your body's getting rid of toxins and it's building up the muscle. But this is one thing that we negotiate with so quickly. Our sleep is so quick to go. People say, I haven't got the time to be having, you know, 6-7 hours, or we've got the hot flushes and stuff. But recovery is paramount as well in seeing results.
If you do change the way you exercise, or start exercising, or maybe do a bit more exercise, can you actually minimise the symptoms? Have you seen that with your clients?
Yeah, massively. I always say it's quite a strong statement, but exercise, first of all, I like to call it movement, because exercise fills the fear of dread in people. When they say exercise, they initially shut down, loads of barriers come up, they have all kinds of stories in their head that it's going to be, I'm going to have to go to the gym, I'm going to have to do this, what am I going to wear, what are people going to think? So they shut down and they never really end up doing anything. So I like to call it movement or activity. It's just softens it a little bit. But movement, or let's say exercise in this instance, it should be compulsory through menopause massively. There's, as well as all the benefits that we know of, like lowering cardiovascular risk, building the muscle, losing fat, stress release, feeling good, the benefits really are endless. It's just about finding what works for you. And it doesn't, like, people say, I haven't got the time or money, and I just say that to me translates as it's not a priority for me right now, which is fine, which is okay. But let's just be real, because I can find you something that's completely free to do that won't take up much time in your day or your week, and you have to do it. You have to make yourself a priority to be on form for your family and friends. You have to do this. You have to make the time. You've been so used to looking after yourself and the kids and your career for so long, it's now time for you.
I was about to say, actually, do you think that with a lot of women that you've worked with, that they're so out of the habit of prioritising their own needs, because they, as you say, used to looking after a family or a job or both, and so part of it, I don't know, when you're having your consultations or you're in the gym with them, is validating the fact that they are giving themselves that time.
Yeah, 100%. That's one of the things that a lot of women don't realise. So they go through life not really ever making the time, because they don't realise that they've even pushed themselves down the priority list. But it's about time, yeah, that they make time for it. And these women can do it, and they feel so much better for it. It's just making that step. And it's just the stories that they tend to create of, like, my friend at work says, she's going to the gym and she's doing this diet, so that's what I need to do. Not necessarily. Maybe that'll come further down the line, maybe not. But you need to start small and simple, build on it, get your confidence going, get your motivation going, maybe start to feel a little bit better and build on that. Don't think of the bigger picture. That's way, way down the line.
Yeah, it's almost like if you start any kind of thing, whether it's exercise or whatever, you start off with the best of intentions. So you start off at like peak performance.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it begins to dwindle. But actually what you're saying is just start off slow, add a few things in, see what works, see what feels good.
Yeah. I always say, if you take two women, one woman does, you know, the quick drastic thing of going to the gym, cutting her calories, or, you know, stopping all takeaways or eating dairy or sugar, going to the gym 4 or 5 times a week. Take another woman, it's pretty much the same profile. Build it up slow and steady. I guarantee in 12 months' time, the slow and steady woman will be miles ahead.
Really?
She's not fallen on and off the wagon, beating herself up, going back into that cycle. It might, results will happen slow and steady, but they'll last.
Mm.
These transformations and things that you see, are just, they don't last at all. The weight just bounces back on and lets women beat themselves up time and time again.
I remember working with a very well-known personal trainer years and years and years ago. And I remember being quite despondent and saying, but there's an article in that magazine and that girl from that pop band is 8 stone 2 pounds. And he just looked at me and went, I work with her. She ain't 8 stone 2 pounds. That's just
anymore.
What she's told the journalist.
I always say for the transformation, have you got any that are 6 months afterwards? Can I see those? And not many come through.
Do you, I mean, obviously you don't just work with women experiencing menopause, but do you feel that their vocabulary is different or how they talk? I know women can be especially hard on themselves, particularly when it comes to their physical appearance and abilities, but do you notice a definite shift? And is it very negative? And does it change noticeably once they are doing this holistic piece of the pie approach?
Yeah, it does change a lot. As you said, they are a lot harder on themselves.
Mm.
Nothing's good enough. And these, often I work with women who are, you know, they have stressful, tough careers. They're high up in the career, which is fantastic, but that just leads them to beat themselves up more and more, definitely. But once it changes, the thing with menopause is there's no one size fits all.
Mm.
Absolutely not. It's trial and error with everything, with the foods, with the, you know, there's certain things that work for the majority of women, but then there might be one woman coming along and she says, that just doesn't work for me.
Mm.
But you can find a way. And same with the exercise front, you have to tweak it as you go. There are certain fundamental things that you stick to, but you have to even now, after all this time, I still tweak. And like things like fasting, okay, if you do periods of fasting with your food, that can suppress your thyroid function, which is not good because it's going to affect your hormone levels, which we don't want to play with anymore. But then for some women that I've worked with, it works for them absolutely fine. So it's not as clear cut. But yeah, with everything, there is ways around it.
Yeah, I was talking to a nutritionist yesterday, actually, who said, it's so interesting, isn't it? A woman can pick up a magazine, and we were both looking at each other guiltily because we've both done this.
Yeah.
Her less, obviously, because she's a professional. You can, and she said, I bet you've done it. You've read a magazine article, or you've watched a YouTube video, and or listened to a podcast, and you've heard about keto, or you've heard about intermittent fasting. I bet you've done it. But you haven't really thought about what's going on.
Yeah.
Yet think about the other things in life that you consider for ages, and yet you will change what you're fueling your body with on a dime because you read 500 words and some celebrity's done it.
Exactly. It just shows how influential the markets and people and magazines and people are. It's unfair. It is unfair a lot of the time. And it's not rocket science a lot of the time. We should just stick to the basics.
What are the basics?
Okay, so I feel that there's, you know, for most that people say, what diet should they do? It's always what I get asked. There is no one-size-fits-all, as I've just said. And diets can work. All diets can work. The right person, the right time. They've all got benefits. They've all got pros and cons.
Is it just the case that every diet works as long as you stick to it?
Yes. So when people come to me, they say, right, I've seen this new diet in the magazine or whatever. What do you think? I say, first of all, before you show me it, can you do it forever? And they go, well, no, I was just thinking, you know, before my holiday, drop a few pounds. I say, no, forget it. Go and try again. Like, that's not going to work. It has to be sustainable. And you can maybe take elements of the keto and the paleo and calories, whichever Dukan diet, and put them together and find what works for you. When people, you compare yourself to your friends, you are not your friend. You have different stresses, different commitments, different job, different family life. You all, as much as you want to fit yourself into their genes and their, you know, like, you haven't got the same lifestyle as them, and you've got to consider all these factors. It's massively important. The fundamentals would be eating a raw, like, organic is very debatable, is it worth the money or not, but as if it comes in a packet or a tin, think about it twice. If it comes from the ground or the sea, excellent. As much colourful fruit and vegetables, nuts, seeds, you can't, protein, everything. You can't really overeat protein, so you don't need to worry about it too much. You'll get full before you overeat. And when I say protein, I mean your meat and your fish.
Lean protein, essentially.
Yes, yeah. Lean protein. So you have to get your, don't want to get too sciencey, but you have to get your macros right, mm-hmm. your proteins, fats and carbs and your calories right. Because no matter if you're going through menopause or not, you need to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that you need to be in a calorie deficit, but you've got all these hormonal changes happening. So it's harder to stick to some form of food plan or exercise routine. Mm-hmm. So where all these fitness people are like, you know, just eat less and move more. Yes, it's got an element of truth to it, but there's a lot more going on when you're going through menopause. Getting enough water, you know, hydration, massive fan of hydration. It's free and available pretty much everywhere. It can affect your mood, your energy, your skin, your control and your hunger levels.
Can it really? I know that sounds like a dumb question, but can it really?
you look guilty.
Yeah, because I don't drink enough water because I'm frightened of soiling myself on public transport.
That's the other side of it. So you want to try and finish, always be close to the toilet. People say to me, but I've been drinking more, but I've been going to the toilet every, 5 minutes, and I say, welcome to my world. It's a small price to pay for help, right?
Yeah, true.
If you try and finish drinking water maybe an hour or two before you go to bed, because a lot of women, especially in the menopause, getting up in the middle of the night, drinking water, getting enough fruit and vegetables, eating enough but not too much, that's a whole another subject on its own. Not having many processed foods, but I am, have the odd treats and stuff. If you can manage it and you can control yourself, then life's too short. Have the glass of wine, have your treat, all within reason. But I always say get the fundamentals down first and then the treats come afterwards. Watching your salt intake.
I think let's just go back a little bit to calorie deficit,
yeah.
Because that's the calories you consume are less than the calories that you burn.
Yeah.
So that there is a deficit of calories, which means every pound of fat equals 3,500 calories.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So if you have a calorie deficit every day of 500 calories, you'll lose a pound a week.
Yeah.
It's kind of the basic maths.
Yeah.
But what happens in menopause is that your basal metabolic rate drops. So it means that in order to achieve that 500 calorie deficit, should you want it, you actually have to consume a lot less.
Correct.
And so that can be quite challenging because how do you know what your basal metabolic rate is?
You can work it out. There's formulas for everything. If you have a look online and you have to take certain elements of how active you are into account, but it's just a ballpoint. Like, you can go online and work out, put in your details of your female and your age and your current activity levels, and it gives you a ballpoint of calories. But it's just a formula. It doesn't know you day in, day out. So it's just a starting point. And then you're going to have to tweak it from there. And then you're going to have to take into account the fact that your weekends often go over the top. So sometimes in terms of calories, I've given my clients a weekly calorie amount to play with. So they can have high and low days, but over the weekly amount, you need to be hitting a certain amount. People say to me, why do you gain weight in menopause? And as I mentioned to you before, menopause, in my experience and working with the specialists that I do, doesn't directly cause weight gain, but the hormonal shifts that women experience will definitely contribute to weight gain.
That's really interesting. So it's not actually the act of the hormonal changes in itself that mean that you start putting on weight. It's like even your mood changing can impact choices that you make, for example. Exactly. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not something to just be neglected. People say, oh, what's it? Yeah, it's rubbish. But all these little things add up. So weight gain in menopause, the fact that we actually do often eat more and move less than we realise, whether we want to admit it or not. Some of us are more willing to admit it, and the research shows time and time again that we underreport the food that we eat by up to 50%, and we overreport the activity that we do, the exercise, by 50%.
Right.
And this is things that have they follow people around and monitor them properly, and they generally, some of them think they're doing everything spot on, exactly, and they've reported everything with full truth, but they're actually not. And that's true for various reasons, but that's something that we need to take into account. And then the fact that we're losing bone mass quicker than we're repairing it, as we said earlier, and muscle mass, because the more muscle you have, the more calories you burn. So if we're losing muscle mass, then we're burning less calories. And as we said, when your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, drops, you don't burn as many calories at rest. So when you're just relaxing at home, you're not burning as many calories as you would have done a few years ago. And you're also not not, you don't burn as many calories when you're exercising. So you can see how all these little things are going to add up, and then you're going to end up gaining weight and just blaming it, putting it down to, inverted commas, the menopause, which has an element of truth to it, but it doesn't have to be that way. That's why I'm here and why I started this message, because women are, so many women I see are helpless, and there are solutions. There's so much support and advice out there, and it seems to be a pretty on-trend topic at the minute. So the word's slowly getting out there, and it's getting more onto the programs and stuff, but it's baby steps. There's still a lot of work to be done, but I just wanted, you know, this opportunity and for the work that I do to let women know that if you want the help, that, and that's a key thing, if you want the help, it is there for you.
And that's the thing. So you do, well, exactly. You've said on your website or on your Instagram feed, it's a two-way street. You do it together. You can help, but it's about whether you're up for the challenge as well. And it is kind of, it's sort of a bit depressing in a way to think, oh, right, now I'm up for a challenge now, really, when I've got brain fog and I'm sweating. Great. I'm, you know, that can be somewhat challenging. And also, I would imagine most women who are going through this in their 40s and 50s, they might be at the point in their life where they're making more money than they've made before, and they want to drink that bottle of red wine on a Saturday night that they couldn't afford, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're sort of, I think there's this, I don't know if you get this, I'd be really interested about people going, really, now, just as I'm sort of like living my best life, now this?
But you can still live your best life. You know, I work with a lot of women that have the balance right. It's not easy. And you've worked hard and you've been through, you know, what you've been through, you can definitely still live your best life. I still, you know, yes, I'm still younger, but I still, you know, like a drink. I still like my pancakes and cakes. There's nothing off limits for me, all within reason. Do you have to take it too far and have, you know, the full, you could have maybe a full bottle is a bit much, but you have to have the full bottle, or do you have to have it, you know, every other night? It's about balance. But I always say to women, when you've got everything, you know, you might have been exercising, looking after yourself in your 20s and 30s, and then it slowly starts to tail off, when actually you need to almost pick up the pace. You need to try harder. You need to put yourself more of a priority as you're getting older. And it actually, that's not how it happens. It's in reverse. And this is why we run into all these problems, and women have health problems and menopause hits and they feel awful, because we should have been stepping it up in terms of our health, not retracting it or slowing it down. And that's a difficult thing, because we are a lot busier and more stressed than when we were in our younger years. But it's non-negotiable. You've got to find a way to make it fit in.
Without naming names, because obviously I'm sure you keep your clients' confidentiality close to your chest, but can you give any examples of someone who's come to see you who maybe even didn't know that they were experiencing menopause or perimenopause, but was feeling very frustrated and maybe low, and the transformation you saw and the steps that you both took together to achieve that?
Yes, there's quite a few I could talk about. There was one lady who came into my studio, and she was at a wit's end, I would say is the best way to describe it. And she'd been around quite a few studios, which took a lot for her to go into them in London. And she said that she didn't feel welcome in any of them. You know, there was all these young girls walking around with it next to nothing on, and that's fine. But she said that this was her last, you know, her last place to visit, kind of. And she said even the she had quite a bit of weight to lose. Even the towels in the gym didn't fit around her. And so straight away, after we'd had a chat and, you know, I'd reassured her that we'd take it easy and we'd do it together, I ordered some extra large towels. And that reason alone is the reason why she stayed with me. We've been training for over a year now, and she's lost 30 kilos.
Wow.
Which is a lot. Huge. And she didn't really talk about, she was interested in it, but she didn't really talk about menopause at the beginning. She's maybe just on the edge, she's not quite old enough, but as we've gone through and we've discussed it, and obviously we talk about the work that I do, she slowly, and I said, you need to be thinking about perimenopause, you know, as a stranger, as people say, oh God, no, that's so young, late 30s, early 40s, you might start to see slight changes, very, very minimal, hardly notice it. Then towards, people go through perimenopause for 10 years, but they don't realise that they're going through it until they're in their mid-50s. And then when they look back, they're like, I've actually been going through it for 10 years and I could have been doing something about it. So we slowly started to put things in place that incorporated part, you know, menopause, part not menopause training, looking at her stress management, what she was doing in work. Anya, she's flying now, absolutely fantastic. She's actually recently, in the last few weeks, gone on HRT, because she, and she's still early, still mid, like late 40s. But we've done the research together, I've reassured her, so she's got it all locked down now. And she just said it was time. I said, what, you know, if I could capture what we've done and get inside your head and your motivation and your mindset, if I could bottle that up, you know, everyone would be made. We'd be set. It'd be good to go. And she was just like, there was no particular health scare or anything. She was just fed up. She was just, it was time to make a change. She'd done enough for herself and a career, and she just wanted to feel the best she could feel. But yeah, she's like a new woman now. We're really good friends as well.
Is that something that you have noticed, that women come in and they're fed up?
Oh, absolutely. Some women are more inclined to talk about it and to admit it. Some women, you know, I've tried to mention it, and you can see they shut down and they're not ready to talk about it for whatever reason. And that's fine. That's okay. We might readdress it later on. But in the meantime, I'll just build up the foundations for when we get there and just do everything that I need to do for when they're ready to talk about it. But yeah, as an industry as a whole, we need to be helping people. I get, you know, a lot of women that have maybe got male trainers or even female trainers, and they say they don't want to talk about it. They shut down. They don't know how to handle it, the trainers, so they come and see me. But we need to have more people training it. I mean, there's only so much of me that can go around. I need some help out there.
So is there a, I mean, I know you've talked about the different things that you can do, but is there a significant difference if somebody went to a trainer and said, I want to lose, say that lady you're talking about, I want to lose 30 kilos. Say that was her goal at the beginning. And she just went maybe to somebody who wasn't a specialist. They might have put her on a really intense cardio program with like weight sessions a couple of times a week, which is kind of the cookie cutter program, isn't it, these days?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know how.
You're not far off.
Yeah. That might have done her more harm than good. It might have made her feel even more frustrated.
Yeah, because, I mean, for a few reasons, she could feel inadequate, like she couldn't do it. She couldn't keep up and knock her confidence, and she might never end up coming back. But also, if you don't get the balance right of exercise, it's going to add too much stress to the body. It's going to be too impactful on the joints. It's not going to help you build muscle and protect your joints. So it's definitely going to do more harm than good if you don't get the balance right for that person. Especially if you're, if you have a woman that's particularly quite overweight and got a bit of weight to lose, even more so, you shouldn't be doing anything that's jumping, high impact on the joints. You should be taking longer rest periods in between sets. You should be taking longer rest periods in between sessions, like in between the days, and no long steady state cardio. I don't really recommend it. Maybe if it's good, so if the research has shown that it can be good for some women to switch off psychologically and mentally, and if that works for you, if I always say, if it works for you, if it's truly working for you in more ways than one, then crack on with it, go for it. But the majority of the time, cardio is not really in there. We do like short bursts, and people say, you don't do much cardio. I say, give me 20 squats, bodyweight squats.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Out fast and you're out of breath, and I said, there's your cardio, your heart, you're sweating. It's the same, but it's less taxing on your joints.
Burpees.
Well, there you go, there's another form of cardio. I'm not that mean.
Yeah. I love that. I'm not that mean. I do think they are the most frightening exercise.
I can think of a few more.
Oh, really?
They are up there. They are definitely up there. But yeah, you've got to get the balance right. And not to discredit any other trainers that are out there doing, you know, great work with some people, but you have to think a little bit differently. And also it's the in between, as we said before, the talking side of it, the confidence side of it, reassuring them, building the confidence, letting them know that, you know, it's okay to feel the way they are. But trainers don't really see that side of it, and it's not massively different what I'm doing with the exercise and the diet side. There's a few key tweaks that you need to take into account, but other than that, it's more like a coach and counselling as well. Often my clients will say, you're more like a counsellor, they're just listening to the problems. And sometimes, you know, if they're not feeling like it, we just do a short basic workout and let them, make them laugh and smile, and let them leave with a smile on the face. And for me, that's job done.
Do you find that if there's a loss of sense of self-worth or self-esteem, that even including gentle exercise in their lives will improve even that side of it?
Definitely.
Just the control thing of, oh, I'm making a difference, I'm taking time for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just the physical side of it, there's definitely a mental aspect of it, but you need to start to feel that way. You need to actually take action and do something to see those results. And not beat yourself up on the days that you don't feel like it. With a lot of my women, especially the online women, I give them, like, we work out a plan A, B and C. So plan A is when you're firing on all cylinders, your week's going great, that's what you're going to do. Plan B is, you know, it's not that great, things have happened, I'm going to back it off a little bit. And plan C is the minimal that you're going to commit to when your week has gone topsy-turvy, nothing's going right, but you've said these two, three things are absolutely happening regardless. Over my dead body, will they go?
We'll get on to that in a minute, but I just wanted to ask you, when we had Dr. Elaine McQuaid on, she talked about stress management and the way that stress can have a major impact on hormones and menopausal symptoms. And I wondered if you had any key tips that you give to clients to sort of, because like you say, there is an element of stress in the gym in order to achieve results. But what do you recommend for stress management or stress reduction?
Yes, stress is a huge factor, often one that, again, people don't really want to talk about. I've had clients, menopausal or not, that have got pretty much the diet and exercise side of it down to a T, but they've not really seen results or improvements in health markers such as blood pressure and cholesterol because they don't want to address the stress, or they feel like they can't because they're in a position in the job where they just feel that, you know, it is what it is for now. But stress, yeah, has a huge impact in weight loss, no matter what your age, more so as you get older, over 40s. But stress, looking after yourself, so getting your balance of your exercise right, prioritising your sleep. Yes, it is difficult when you're going through night sweats and anxiety and your mood's not great, but if you have a sleep routine, that it will help if you stick to it day in, day out. If you go to bed at kind of the same time, wake at kind of the same time, you know, look at the light in your room, the sound in your room, the temperature in the room, maybe have some lavender sprays and stuff. The research is very weak on that, but you maybe do some light reading before bed, have a nice bath before bed, put some music on. These are all the things that people say, oh well, where's the research that, but it ultimately it does help to relax and unwind you. And even if you're feeling, you know, hot sweats and anxiety, if you do them things, then you know you've done the best you can. So prioritizing your sleep, getting time outside in nature. I know it sounds stupid and it's hard to find in London, but there are some parks out there. The repetitive colours and shapes of nature and trees and grass is shown to have a lot of positive impact on stress levels, reducing stress levels. Spending time with good friends and family. You know, we're at a stage as well where we've learned, we've done what we've done, and we can cut off a few people that we don't want to spend time with, and we can spend time with those that we do. I've lost a few of my time when you just get to the point, actually I don't care, you don't offer much value to my life, so I'm going to spend less time with you and more with others. Talking about your problems and what you're going through, the more we can talk about it, that's why I love the group that I've got going, because women will talk and message between themselves and me and post, so you feel like you're not alone.
This is your Facebook group, which obviously the link to join will be in the show notes, listeners. You talk about the five ways to cope with the menopause. Would you mind just giving top line on that for listeners?
Yes. So it's more like five pillars to health. Mm-hmm. So we talk about movement or exercise, how you're going to get it into your life, what way you're going to start with it, and how is it going to be ingrained in your life that's going to be beneficial and not add too much stress to your life. Nutrition. So what's going to work for you? Is it going to be, you know, a calorie counting? Is it going to be the keto? Is it going to be eating intuitively?
What even is that? My take on eating intuitively is eating what you want, which is why I'm terrified of it and would like to put it in the bin. But I'm sure that's not the case.
Well, you're pretty much, you're not far from it. It's basically listening to your body, learning the cues, because, I mean, we all evolved from eating when we were hungry and stopping when we're full, but in this day and age, them cues have gone way overboard. Like, our body doesn't even recognise the cues anymore. But if you can get back into that true state of listening to your body, and not, it's hard when there's no plan, you know, you've got to listen to eat when you're hungry and then stop when you're full is tough. It's tough. It's something that I try to do, and eating slowly and mindfully, chewing your food properly, stuff like that. And people say that if you're just focusing on protein, your meats and fish and your vegetables, it's hard to overeat, because you will get full. If you're eating pure, like, raw, organic, wholesome, colourful foods, then you can't really go wrong. So yeah, we look at your nutrition and what is going to work for you in the long term, not this on and off cycle of a couple of months doing this and that.
Right.
And then we look at your sleep routine. What are you doing, and what can you implement within reason? You know, I've got all, say, the templates of what would be ideal scenario, but then we have to chop and change them to work for people, what works for certain individuals. And then we look at your stress management. What are you doing to, you know, reduce your stress, to even acknowledge it, what you do on when you're having a tough day and, you know, you see red. How do you then bring your stress levels back down, or do you just completely ignore it, have another coffee and carry on? Because that's not going to help you in the long term. So do you recognise how stressed you are? I always ask clients on a scale of 1 to 10, and the ones that often say, oh, I'd say, you know, 3, 4, I'm not really that stressed. First of all, I want you to be a 2, okay? And the people that say they're not stressed are usually ones that are super stressed.
Okay, I find that really interesting, because I was at an event yesterday, and someone came up to me at the end, a good friend, and said, do you know what, I've spoken to 20 people today, and when I've said, how are you, they've all said busy. Every single one.
Well, that's honesty, isn't it?
Well, is it? Or is it just fashionable to be like, oh, so busy?
That's it. It is. Yeah. It's a badge of honour. If you're not busy, what are you doing with your life?
But I'm sort of equating, I'm calling being busy and being stressed the same thing. Yeah. I guess for me, when I'm busy, my stress levels go up, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite interesting that, do you think that they say a 4, a 3 or a 4 because they don't want to get into trouble?
Yeah, probably. They don't want to be a 1 or 2 because that's unrealistic. So a 3 or 4. But, you know, I ask them how then we could reduce it and get to a 1 or a 2. What steps could they put in place? What do they enjoy doing? What makes you happy? What makes you laugh? But it's all well and good talking about these things, and then life happens and work happens and these plans go out the window. But they have to be your bread and butter. You have to commit to it day in, day out. And as we say, the plan A, B and C, there'll be certain things that you can do and certain things that you can't do on a good and bad week. So we look at your stress management. And then the last one, so that we've got movement, nutrition, sleep routine, stress management, and then exposure to toxins, environmental toxins, which is a bit of a taboo subject for some. So we're exposed to environmental toxins, or we're exposed to toxins in general all the time. In this, you know, in this room we're sitting in your house, there's plenty going on in your beauty products, your household products, but often specifically, you see it coming up more and more with parabens and stuff that people are. You see a lot of the products and the creams are all going to be going that way, to where organic and, you know, chemical free. It's going to be one of the new phases, along with, just after veganism, I think it's going to be the next thing. But there is an element of truth in it, especially when through menopause, if you're exposed to all these kind of toxins, the chemicals mimic hormones in the body, so the body then gets even more confused. So they can mimic similar to estrogen.
They're endocrine disruptors, basically, aren't they?
Yeah, basically. So the more you're exposed to these type of toxins, the more it's going to wreak havoc with your body. So that is like my final step. Okay, because that's, you're not going to go in with that, because people are just like, what are you talking about? You've got to get the nutrition of food and sleep and stress, and that is the end one.
Yeah.
If you look at the products you're using and the things you're exposed to, reducing that. And again, some people say that, say, I'm not really that interested in it at the moment, and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of scaremongering out there, and there's a lot of pseudoscience that I get quite cross about, and I haven't really addressed it on this podcast, but thank goodness for parabens, as far as I'm concerned, in a lot of products. I found a 10-year-old lipstick the other day, and it was perfect, and it was because it's got preservatives in it. And it's the nicest lipstick that I've got at the moment. And I know that sounds very top line and maybe a bit twee and not taking it seriously, but I do get worried about people thinking that they're absorbing poison, because when you actually look at the function of the derm, of the skin, that, like when you get in a bath, someone said this to me the other day, like when you get in the bath, what happens? Do you fill with water? No, because your skin cannot absorb water. Yeah. Your skin keeps things out.
Yeah.
So if you got in the bath and you absorbed all the water in the bath, yes, you'd have a valid argument, but you don't, so please can we move on?
Yeah. There's a few basics, like using plastic water bottles. Like when the plastic water bottles are heated, say if you left it in your car and then you're going to go and drink it, that for me is like, whoa, but I'm not massively into it in terms of, you know, completely refurbing all your beauty products and your household products, because I think it is, I don't think that's the biggest problem. I think we've got a bigger problem going on. It's like when people say to me, should I be using coconut oil? You know, it's fashionable, it's not, is it good, is it bad? And I said, that's not your problem. That you're focusing on completely the wrong things. We need to look at these, you know, what are you eating? What are your weekends looking like? Are you smoking? What's your alcohol intake? What's your sleep levels? Forget about coconut oil. That's not, people are focusing on the wrong things, on the headlines and what's out there in social media, and completely confused. I get it, but they're there to confuse you ultimately.
Well, yeah, and I've talked about this a little bit recently, because it does say there's so much information out there that rather than being informative, it actually creates more confusion. And I feel as a journalist who gets all the press releases, I get bamboozled by it. So goodness knows what it must be like for somebody who opens up a magazine or turns on their phone and sees a headline or something on Instagram that tells them that the thing that they love most in the world, whether that's a type of exercise, a type of food, or a country that they like to visit, that now they shouldn't because it's bad for you. Because that makes headlines. Oh, it's bad for you, stop doing that.
Absolutely. It's all clever marketing at the end of the day, but the concept is still there. You need to be in a calorie, like all the diets, they're all still calorie deficit. That's ultimately what they do. It just depends how it works for you. The keto is, you know, you're eating less calories, the paleo, whichever one. Some of them have, you know, more benefits for health, and we're not here to go into that, but it's just clever marketing. You need to do your research. You need to get someone that you trust in your life. And it's so basic. Just eat a little bit smarter, stress a little bit less, and move a little bit more in a way that works for you. That's simple.
Yeah.
How it works for you is, it's going to take some time to construct, but we need to stop looking for the quick fixes, because they're not sustainable, and they're not what you should be focusing on at all. People, the first thing that women ask me when they come to me or in the group is, what should I be taking? What supplements should I be taking? And again, I just say, first things first, what are you doing for your, you know, your movement and your nutrition and your stress management? Let's talk about that. Supplements is way top of the pyramid. We might get there, we might never not. It, just in case you're going to touch on supplements, it's each individual to themselves, but the majority of people, especially living in the UK, in this country, are vitamin D deficient. So I do recommend vitamin D. If you don't, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, I made the mistake of buying vitamin D and putting it on social media. This was about a year and a half ago, and going, oh, I've got myself some vitamin D, because I was massively deficient, like in the red bottom of the red zone deficient. So I ended up being prescribed 20,000 milligrams a day for a while. This was a couple of years ago. And then I started just buying them from chemists when I could just go to like a normal dosage. And it's oil soluble, so you have to get the capsules. You can't get the powder. You can't get the little tablets with the powder in. And I think that's a really valuable piece of information.
Yeah.
Get the capsules with the oil.
Yeah, that's a great bit of advice. Omega-3, if you were exposed to with the foods and the way we're eating, we often getting too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3. So if you're not aiming, if you're not getting oily fish in your diet 2 or 3 times a week.
What's the difference between omega-3 and omega-6?
It's just the way that the fat's formed.
Right.
Omega-6 is not great, the way the body handles it,
right,
to keep it simple. And omega-3 are the beneficial fats that you want to be eating because, just to touch on diet, good fats, what we talk about, like from avocados, olive oil, pastured eggs, animal fats, sorry to all the vegans out there, are the building blocks of hormones. Hormones use good
cholesterol.
Fats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be scaremongered into your fats. Years ago, it was, you know, we're eating too much fats, but you need to get, for the majority of clients, where I start from is getting the protein and the fats. So percentage-wise, I often say we're going to start with 40% protein, 40% fats, and 20% carbs, the right source of carbs. And again, it depends person to person. Some women can handle carbohydrates more than others. Mm-hmm. Some people are quick to diagnose themselves as gluten intolerant or celiac, and that's great. I say, have you been medically diagnosed by a doctor or self-diagnosed, because that's completely different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to be getting enough good fats and proteins in your diet to help the building blocks of the hormones.
And that's actually, because you talked about macros earlier, and I was going to come back to that, because it's easier than you think to figure out what your macros are, because I know, and I've been there, listeners, someone said to me before when I've been researching an article, well, you should really do your macros. And I'm like, really? I'm already struggling to figure out, like, you know, everything else. But macros, it's on the back of the packet, isn't it?
Yeah.
It tells you what the fat percentage is, what the carbohydrate percentage is. So you can, it's not definitive. That's not necessarily, because you can put it through an app, which I've done previously.
Yeah.
But that gives you a really good steer, doesn't it? So if you pick up, for example, if you are buying meat and you turn it over and it says 5% fat, it's a good steer, right?
Yeah, definitely. And the thing to bear in mind with these, you know, any formulas that you're using online or the apps that you've just mentioned, all the food labels, they've all got like about a 20% error margin.
Oh,
up,
really?
Or down. So if you get your calorie allowance and that's got about a 20% margin, then you're inputting your food to see what you're doing. That's got a 20% either way margin. Then your food labels have got a 20% margin. You can see why this is all just a ballpark figure.
Yeah.
It's a starting point. And if you've got the starting point and you're sticking to it day in, day out, as much as you can manage, and then you're still not seeing the results, then it's going to need tweaking along the way. But it is a good starting point, but people fixate on it so much, and there's definitely a margin of it. It's good as we've got now. These apps are great, but they're not perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I use MyFitnessPal, this is not an ad, but I use that, and I find that quite handy.
Yeah.
If I want to keep on top of things, and it does do your macros as well if you upgrade. So the other thing, 40% fat, 40% protein, 20% carbs, that's a good ratio to start working on. And that in itself is a tweak you can make today that costs nothing, because it just involves turning the packet over and having a look.
Absolutely.
And also the same with calories, just kind of going, maybe I should keep to however many hundred or thousand and work towards that. That doesn't require any intervention, is what I'm saying, or any assistance.
No, you can make a figure, you know, maybe what you've heard or your friend's doing, and then if you feel, you know, you haven't got much energy, you feel a little bit lethargic, you feel hungry, you don't feel you can manage on that, then maybe up it a little bit. I don't want to talk about any figures, because it's
no, no, neither do I. Yeah. But what do you do when someone says, well, I was sticking to it, but I had a craving? And you are dealing with hormones, and cravings are real, like that feeling of, oh my, I mean, I've had it even recently where I was out with a friend and I said, I really, really fancy a steak. And I rarely eat red meat. But that was definitely a craving. So that's real. So how do you stay on track whilst experiencing cravings? Do you have any tips for people?
So the research, I was reading a journal the other day that apparently it's more genetically predisposed to, if you're having salt or sugar cravings, you can, I don't know much about it, but other than that, it might be more ingrained in us than we think. if you're having, it depends how frequent they are. Cravings come up quite a lot. So first of all, I'll say, are you eating enough real food? You know, are you proteins, fats and carbs in the kind of the right balance? Are you getting enough vegetables? Are you drinking enough water? Massive effects on cravings. It can also be an indication that you may be deficient in something, such as like magnesium can have effects on cravings. If you're deficient in magnesium or chromium, that's another thing that can help. Also, there's some elements of that, and then there's other elements of you just need a little bit more control.
Right.
And you just need to man up.
Yeah.
Like, when you're going to watch a movie and then you're like, should we have some popcorn or something sweet? A lot of habits go hand in hand. Mm. Or when that evening time comes, boredom, stressed, tired, fed up, kids are in bed, I feel like a glass of wine or a bit of chocolate. That's habitual more than scientific. So there's two elements of it. There might be something going on that we can tweak, or you might just actually have to break the cycle. And how much do you want it? But that being said, I would have said to you, have the steak and enjoy every bite, because no one got overweight from, you know, having a couple of glasses of wine or, you know, a cake or a steak. It's the bigger picture. I am all for having treats, but I say like the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time, you're pretty much on track. 20% of the time is yours to enjoy.
That 20% is important, isn't it?
That's very important. And you can split it up. Some people like to split it over a week. So, you know, have like maybe a day off. And some people like to split it up each day. So have like a little treat each day, you know, a little chocolate bar or, you know, half glass of wine or whatever. But that's not the problem. If you've got the fundamentals in place and you're exercising a lot and you're looking after your stress, you're getting good night's sleep, that chocolate bar or glass of wine is not a big deal.
Is there a way that you can live a measured life that doesn't... Is there a way for it to become autopilot?
Absolutely.
So that you're not constantly having to go, oh, balls, I'm going to have to get the funnel out and put half that glass of red wine back in the bottle. You know what I mean?
Yeah absolutely. I mean, obviously, I'm still a little bit younger, but it's you, when you've done it for so... I don't really count my calories. Maybe once a year I might check in and see that things are pretty much on track the way they are. And I have a varied diet. I have all the treats in life. I go out and enjoy myself. But it comes back to this intuitively. The majority of the time, I choose well in restaurants. I know what to choose. I don't really drink in the week. I probably have a glass of wine every other week. My exercise is my stress release. It's my non-negotiable time. Some days it might be half an hour. Some days it might be, you know, 90 minutes. Some days it might be just a walk outside, depending on. But it's there. It's set in stone. And then I know if, you know, some weekends I've taken it too far. But the thing is, I don't beat myself up. I get straight back on track. It's not a big deal. I enjoyed every minute of it. I've got the memories to take with me, and I prep myself on a Sunday night as much as I can. By the way, I call it a partial prep life. So all these fitness people with the Tupperware and stuff, it just doesn't work for me at all.
Me either.
I might make some protein, some meat, and then the rest of it I'll just get veg or get additional stuff. So I just, because the protein I find is hard to get when you're out and about, so
yes,
I make that.
Agreed.
The rest of it can be added onto as you go. So I'll get myself back on track, and then I start again on a Monday and I don't beat myself up at all. But that's the difference. When people are starting to fear food and fear treats, it can easily go the other way with women, especially. You see them when they, you know, they're getting on this health cycle and they go, they've got that personality type, and they go completely the other way and they control it too much, and then that can lead to, you know, problems or eating disorders or body image disorders down the line.
Do you notice that the body confidence?
Absolutely, yes.
And is part of what you do about, as much as it's the training, these five steps, is part of it about look at your body and appreciate it and look at how strong it is?
Yeah.
And is that something that maybe there's a chip missing, and maybe that hasn't been programmed in us enough?
Yeah, definitely. And often you can see when clients talk to you, it's come from their upbringing or their parents or something, and not being, you know, maybe told they're loved enough or confidence levels. I know I'm not a psychologist in any way, but most psychologists go right back to your upbringing or your parents, right, and nitpick that away. But body image is a huge thing, and I always say, listen, people always go, but what, you know, what do you know? You know, you've got the perfect body, or, you know, you've
she
got,
does
you,
listen.
Yeah. but she's
worked hard on it.
But I say, but I'm by no means happy with, you know, there's things that I accept my body for the way it is, but I'm never going to be a 6 foot one Victoria's Secret model with legs for days, am I? Because that's not the way. That's, unfortunately, I've tried my best. It's not going to happen. I've given up. You need to accept your body. I've got, you know, good bits and bad bits about it, but you would look at me and think that I'm completely happy. But I'm not completely happy, but I've accepted the way I am, and I work on it day in and day out. But you need to also celebrate the small wins, the fact that, like, I am strong, you know, and I'm doing the best I can to be around for the longest time, to be hopefully have kids and be around for them. But this has been, I've always done it this way, and it's hard to backtrack and reverse women who, you know, I've always done this and known this, but for women who this is a new concept for them, it's hard to, you know, dig that away, dig deep and reverse that, the way they think. It is difficult, but it's a huge, huge thing. But slowly, just, you know, drip, not manipulate them, just drip feed things, make them see things they don't see, and build the confidence.
I remember working with a trainer years ago who said, you've got really nice shaped shoulders. And actually, that's really stayed with me.
There you go.
Oh my goodness, I've got nice shaped shoulders. That's nice.
I'll take that with me.
Exactly. Also, you do, because I do want to address this, because I know a lot of listeners may have listened to the other show with Elaine talking about bioidentical hormones and the fact that she's all right, listeners.
Sorry.
And the fact that it costs money, it takes time, it's an investment to actually get bioidentical hormones or any kind of therapy. It's quite hard to get it in this country on the NHS. And I wanted to talk about your 12-week online coaching, because you do handhold. There's some water on the table. We're all good. I'm going to fill while she coughs. It's all good.
I do apologise. It just proves that I am drinking my water, ladies.
Mm. Yeah, so you have a 12-week online coaching service. How does that work? And why is it 12 weeks?
That's a very good point. So I started the online way because I realised that there wasn't enough of me to go around, so to speak, to see people in person. So the online coaching works in a online educational format. So I basically have a Facebook group, which is private, not the one that you've had a look at, but a separate one. The women go in it and we go through topics each week. So we break it down, the five steps that we've talked about, but we break it down even further to dive deep into actually why this is important and how we're going to ingrain it into your life. So ultimately, at the end of the 12 weeks, that you can go off and do your plan on your own. So you don't need me for life. So we've addressed all the five areas over the course of 12 weeks. We have support calls with the other women in the group, so group calls. So you can talk about what's gone well for you that week, what hasn't gone so well, what you need help with. And then you get a monthly call with myself, one-to-one. So maybe things that you don't want to talk about on the group call, a little bit more personal. We'll go into detail in them. And then we work through the 12 weeks. We have the calls. You can ask me any questions you want. It can be, again, depending on where you're starting, some of the exercises for like home workouts, or some of them are gym routines, some of them are in the park, depending on what you can do and what works for you. And then we take, you know, we take your measurements. We also look at your symptom tracker. So what symptoms you've got at the beginning and what symptoms you've got at the end. 12 weeks is a good question. That's basically where I can fit, or there's no magic to 12 weeks. So the 90-day thing is that's just what I can fit my content into, and also so I can run a couple of them throughout the year so I can reach more women. A lot of women then stay on with me and coach one-to-one, just around, like, you know, not as intense as the 12 weeks, but just staying in touch, being accountable, being supported. They stay on with me after the program, but initially that is the time that I compacted all my research and information into, and come up with 12 weeks. Yeah, it's no magic number. I say to a lot of the women, being realistic, it's a 12-month transformation. Forget 12 weeks, commit to 12 months, and you'll notice a bigger difference. That's realistic terms. You know, these 12-week magic 90-day programs, it's nonsense, really, and it's not sustainable. And most of the time when women see results, then it comes back on with friends 6 months later with addition. So there's no magic in the 12 weeks. It definitely 12 months. Commit yourself to 12 months and you'll see a difference.
I think the thing what I really liked when I started reading all of your content was the fact that actually, and I think I said at the beginning, but just having now spoken to you for nearly an hour, it makes even more sense, is you're saying this is a challenge. And you can do it, and you are up for it, and you've done. You know, women are really tenacious people.
Oh, absolutely.
We can do it, and this isn't something that you have to let happen to you. You can battle it in a really positive way that actually has more benefits, mental and physical, than just overcoming the symptoms of menopause.
Absolutely. That will carry you forwards for way beyond your menopausal years. And as I said to you before, the earlier you get started, there's no age, you know, no too early to start. The mm-hmm. earlier you get started, the better it is, the easier the ride. It's not going to be easy. You've got to want it. You've got to prioritise yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not a magician, mm-hmm. you know. I can give you all the tools, but you have to take ownership of it and want it and know that you deserve it and you're worthy of it. Mm-hmm. And you definitely can see results. This succumbing to age and succumbing to, oh, well, I'm in the menopause now, it's nonsense, and it really, really annoys me, because you don't deserve that. And, you know, what's to say? I've worked with women that now are absolutely flying. They're in the best shape of their lives. They're happy. They're in good relationships, great careers. Right through the menopause. Mm. It's just something, it's just a taboo subject that you hear in the media and you're like, oh, it's awful, it's going to be awful. You preempt it. Mm. And it doesn't have to be that way. There's so much great research and advice out there and support mm. now. You just need to go and look for it and want it, and it's absolutely there. You're not alone in this by any means. Mm.
And I do think it's really important to hear voices like yours that are saying it isn't something that means a lower quality of life, a lower quality of anything. Actually, it can be something that you can navigate through and really thrive.
Absolutely. I say it could be the best years of your life. We're now living, you know, to 70, 80, 90, beyond. Mm. So who's to say that you haven't spent the first half of your life just figuring out what you want and where you're going, and now it's time for you. It's time to shine. There's no reason for that unless you believe everything you read in the media. It's up to you. The choice is yours. But the research and the resources are there right in front of you. You just need to open your eyes and take a little look and want it. Because it's not, you know, there's no magic pill and there's no magic exercise routine or diet. It's the whole piece of the puzzle. Mm. You have to get the whole puzzle together. You have to prioritise yourself and you have to want it. And it's there.
Well, listeners, I'm sure you'll agree, it's been really interesting speaking to Katie, and I feel quite motivated myself.
Go girl.
So all of the links to Katie, KMO, will be in the show notes, the links to the 12-week programme, the links to social media and everything. But yeah, I just want to say thank you so much. It's so nice to hear your voice, your tone, and to hear how actually it can be something really empowering and not something to be scared of.
Absolutely not. And for any of your listeners that feel that they're alone in this, or that, you know, they don't know where to turn, then feel free to click on the links and join my group, and even send me a message to say you listened to the podcast and you found it interesting and what you're going through at the minute. I'll be happy to help you.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And I'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you found that episode useful. If you would like to get in touch with me, email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram and Twitter, where I'm at Emma Guns, that's at EMMAGUNS, or you can join the closed Facebook group for the podcast, where there are 3,000 other podcast listeners waiting to have a chat with you. You just have to click the link in the show notes and I'll answer a couple of questions and I will approve you. I can't wait to see you over there. We haven't some lovely chats over there right now, just so you know. Thank you so much for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
I will see you on the next one.